How many of you know that all of our stories in one way or another eventually connect to each other? How many of you know that all of us eventually, if we go far enough back, we're all related to one another?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Welcome to Straight Talk. Great to have you with us once again, listening to this broadcast. Today, before we jump into the Word, I just simply want to challenge and remind those of you that may be struggling with a hurtful heart right now. I talk to so many people that have been injured somehow by someone, whether it's their spouse or another believer or someone in spiritual leadership, that allow that hurt to turn into resentment, and that resentment to turn into the spread of bitterness through their soul, and that bitterness to rob them of their joy and to push them away from fellowship and other believers. And how sad it is when I encounter someone that used to be a part of a church or fellowship and used to serve God, but they're bound up with hurt and bitterness and anger against someone. And I want to say, if there's a seed of hurt in you today, I want to challenge you, no, exhort you, no, plead with you to deal with it. Deal with it before it turns into a plague in your soul. If someone has hurt you, if someone has disappointed you, if someone has said words that have deeply offended you, I want you to write a letter, to call them up, or to simply get on your knees before God and say, God, you see that I am hurt, but I will not let my hurt keep me away from you, from your people, from your word, or your things. I will not allow myself to be a casualty of resentment or bitterness. Seriously, deal with it quickly. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, even right now, for someone that's listening to me today that has a seed of bitterness, resentment, that is holding them away from fellowship, from people in church, from a community of faith, that seed of bitterness has become a stumbling block to their soul. And I pray that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would give them the grace even now to release it, the grace even now to forgive, the grace even now to say, God, this is a heavy burden on my soul. This has polluted my spirit, but oh God, I ask for the cleansing. Even now, cleansing power of the Holy Spirit come upon those that are calling upon you. Give them the power to be free to worship you, the power to be free from bitterness, God. Grace, I ask upon the person that's struggling right now. Grace upon grace upon grace. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you heard my words. And I hope that you deal with any kind of bitterness you may have. Now, may God bless you and prepare your heart to listen to the Word.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on with our series called Love Stops. And today is our fifth message, Love Stops for Change. Our text will be found in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 42. Here's Pastor Mark with Love Stops for Change.
Mark, chapter 5. Last week, I talked to you about out of Mark chapter 5. But this is a different story than I told you last week. But they are interconnected and related stories. How many of you know that all of our stories in one way or another eventually connect to each other? How many of you know that all of us eventually, if we go far enough back, we're all related to one another? Seriously? Because in God's grand narrative, there are dots that connect us all together. Some of those dots we don't know, but they do connect us. In this story in Mark chapter 5 that I'm about to read to you, it's interesting because the number 12 is important. A woman that's in this story in Mark chapter 5 had internal hemorrhaging. For 12 years, she had been sick. The very year that she discovered that she was sick and started bleeding internally, there was another family in another town that she did not know that was celebrating the birth of a daughter, a baby girl. On this end, this woman was discovering that she was sick. On the other end, there was a family that was celebrating the birth of their daughter, and they held her and celebrated it and let all the neighbors know. And they did not know each other, weren't connected to each other, but God knew that eventually their story would intersect. And that 12 years later, both the woman with internal hemorrhaging and the man who had a 12-year-old daughter would be in the same crowd needing the same thing, a touch from the hand of Jesus. It tells us in verse 21 of Mark chapter 5, when Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went there with him. There's nothing that will cause a parent to jump into accelerated emergency mode like a child that's hurt or injured or suffering. There's nothing that would get you out of the seat more rapidly than to hear that something was wrong with your child, son or daughter. There's nothing that, hey, you can take a sweet little mother who seems pretty passive and tell her that her son is on the way to the hospital and she turns into an aggressive Chicago driver. Because there's something that kicks in when we know that a son, a daughter is in trouble. It's that maternal, paternal instinct that activates us, that gets us in that direction. I have three children, a 17-year-old daughter, 16-year-old son that's doing the camera right now, my 16-year-old son. And sometimes I do fast moves like this just to throw him off. Just to make sure he can follow me in the camera. He tells me, "Dad, I got you down now. I know your moves." It's okay, all right. I'm going to throw you off next Sunday. He's getting baptized next Sunday, by the way. I'm excited about that, yeah. And I have an 11-year-old son named Grant. Now, my son Josiah and my daughter Marissa, I really barely ever had to go to the doctor or the hospital with them. But then, lo and behold, Grant was born. Oh, Grant was born. Now, when he was born, I should have known when he was born that it was a foretaste of things to come, because he was born cesarean and he had jaundice. And so the very first week of his life, I had to take him to the hospital every day to get his foot pricked and his finger. They were testing his blood. And then he slept in this little, like, light blanket. He had to have this light on him to take care of the jaundice. I call him my little lightning bug there, because he was wrapped in this blanket and slept there. But from the beginning, when he was 2 years old, he was in a soccer game with his older cousins and he broke his leg. Not just like broke his leg, but the two bones in his leg cracked in two. He wasn't even walking when he was in a cast, crawling around in a cast. It was only a couple years later that he fell down the stairs and broke his collarbone. And when people would ask, "What happened to you?" he'd say, "My dad. I left my shoes at the top of the stairs And he tripped over my shoes. And I would say, son, don't tell people it was your dad. They're going to think I pushed you down the stairs or threw you down. Tell them it was my shoes. He would say, they'd say, how'd you break my dad? So no. Explain a little bit, please. I need a little bit of explanation there. And then it wasn't too long after that him and his brother, of course, were sword fighting with sticks. And according to his older brother, a wave pushed him and he missed. And anyways, he broke his knuckle as well. Fractured his knuckle. And then it was not too long after that he was actually skateboarding and trying to do, of course, one of the biggest hills without really knowing how to do it too well. And he fell and he fractured his wrist as well. And he was on a treadmill playing around and he fell off the treadmill and had to get 7 stitches in his head. And we were having dinner not too long ago out there, and they called us up and said, hey, he's got hives all over his body. And so we had to rush, take him to the emergency room to make sure. I mean, we've been at the hospital all the time. I told my wife, don't take him to the same hospital. They're going to think, you know, we're going to send DCFS against us. They're saying, hey, how come this boy's breaking so many bones? And he's always climbing on things and hanging from things. And if there's a wall, he's on it. If there's a cliff, he's on the edge. If, you know, it's just part of his nature. When we moved in the house, we have like this balcony and he had a measuring tape. My wife walked in, he had a measuring tape from the top all the way to the first floor. And she said, what are you doing? He said, I wouldn't die if I jumped. She said, no, you're not going to jump. You are not going to jump. I've been tempted to send him to school with a helmet and pads, but I thought he'd look a little funny, but just so he wouldn't bang his head and get hurt. But every time he gets hurt, I don't care. I know it's been quite a few times, but every time there's a broken bone, every time there's an emergency, I still feel like I gotta be there. It's my son. How is he? I want to take him. I don't want someone else to take him. I want to be there. I want to help him. I want to make sure the doctors are doing things right. I want to make sure they don't mess up. I want to make sure he knows Dad is there.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Love Stops for Change. It's from our series called Love Stops, and if you'll stay tuned, you'll learn how to get a free copy of tonight's message as well as information about Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 42. Our message is called Love Stops for Change.
This man, Jairus, he was the head of the ruler of the synagogue, which meant that he was in charge of the synagogue facilities and he coordinated services a little bit like a pastor would be nowadays, had a 12-year-old daughter. I'm sure he had bounced her on his knee. I'm sure he had delighted over her, dedicated her in the synagogue like some of these folks did this morning. I'm sure he had called her his princess. I'm sure he had lit up when he saw her smile. I'm sure he had told her stories and delighted in how she looked like her mother and what she was growing up to be and envisioned her the lady that she was becoming. But something happened. We don't know what happened. We don't know how it happened. We don't know what the extreme, but we know it was serious. The Bible says that he came to Jesus. And he said, my little girl is dying. This wasn't a casual conversation of, hey, Jesus, you mind dropping by my house? I'd love to have you meet my family. And by the way, pray for my daughter. No. He was desperate, passionate, fell at the feet, grabbed Jesus by the feet, pleaded with him, Jesus, please come to my house. It's my little girl. She's dying. Oh, if you could come and touch her and put your hands, I know it'll be different. Please, Jesus, come. And the Bible says that Jesus agreed to go, and so he was on his way. As he was on his way to the house of Jairus, he was interrupted. There was a large crowd around him. And I'm sure that Jairus was saying, come on, Jesus, over here. Hurry, don't get distracted. Make way. There's an emergency here. Come on, come on. Make your way over here. Get over here. Hey, Jesus, over here. Hey, Jesus is coming through. He's in a hurry. Ever tried to get someone out of a crowd, move someone along? Over here. Come on, let's go. Done it a few times at the mall with my wife. The parking lot, hon, don't get distracted by that store, this one. Over here. And then someone stopped. Jesus stops in the middle of the crowd. His disciples around him. He stops and much to the dismay of Jairus, he stops and he says, hey, who touched me? His disciples are, what do you mean, who touched you? There's a crowd around you, people all over. And he says, no, someone touched me. He felt power released from him because a woman that had been sick 12 years ago when this daughter was born, this woman had reached through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Power had come through her into her, and she had been instantly, automatically, supernaturally healed. As the crowd parted, he looked around and his eyes caught the eyes of this woman, and she looked up in fear and fearful, not knowing what to say. And he looked at her and she said, it's I. And she told him her story. And Jesus said, daughter, go in peace. Your suffering is over. Your faith has made you well. And Jairus is thinking, oh no, Lord, why are you stopping and talking? Now's not the time. My daughter is dying. You can't stop now. You can't take time now. Hurry up the conversation. And look what it says in verse 35. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, he's still talking to this woman, some men from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, came to him and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Listen, often our faith will be challenged by worsening circumstances. Many times things will appear to get worse before they get better. That ever happened to you? You're in a trial. It's a tough time already. You go to Jesus, you go to God, you start getting on target, you ask God to come into the picture, you think you're getting hope now. Your hope is being raised, and as your hope is being raised, then suddenly it's dashed because it gets worse instead of better. You see, life is that way. Life is not just a steady stream. It doesn't just go straight up. Life is like this, up and down. And sometimes in the middle of our trial, just about the time we think we're going to turn a corner, then things get worse and not better. But here's what I want you to know. In the midst of all this, it hasn't caught God by surprise. You see, Jesus understood that he was going to stop and talk to this woman. He wasn't late. He wasn't tardy. He didn't miss the mark. You see, behind all this story, there's a story maker, someone that's orchestrating the strands of this story together, someone that is creating the opportunity for God to receive glory through this. And he stopped on purpose. And it didn't catch Jesus by surprise, the fact that this little girl had died, because God's timetable is not our timetable, and God's schedule is not our schedule. And I love what Jesus says. They come to him and they said, don't bother the teacher, your daughter's dead. Verse 36 says, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. I love that. Ignoring what they said. Ignoring what they said. They said, well, she's dead. Ignoring what they said. There's no hope. Ignoring what they said. Don't bother him. It's too late. Ignoring what they said. How many of you know sometimes we have to ignore what they say? Yeah. There's times where you just have to ignore what certain people are saying because certain people have already pronounced your marriage dead and gone and hopeless, and you just have to ignore what they said. Some people have said, you will never change. You'll always be that way. There's no hope for you. Ignoring what they said. Some people have given up on your son or daughter. It's too late. They'll never change. They're always going to be that way. Ignoring what they said. There's always naysayers. They're always there. There's always people looking at your circumstances and they're gonna speak what they see, but they're not gonna speak what we see in faith. Because what you see through the rational eyes and what you see through the physical eyes is not always what we see through the spiritual eyes. You see, there's something that's happening in the spiritual realm that the carnal eyes cannot see. There's something brewing in the spiritual realm that the natural eyes cannot comprehend. And if you walk by sight, you will not walk by faith. There's a difference between walking by sight and walking by faith. God has called us to walk by faith and not by sight. When Jesus called Peter to walk upon the water, he looked at the water and it looked like this water can't hold me up. Jesus said, come. Walk by faith. He got out of the boat and started walking on water supernaturally. But then he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the storm and he looked at the waves. And when his rational mind took over and he stopped walking by faith, suddenly he started drowning. Why? Because he walked by sight and not by faith. Listen, if I would have walked by sight and not by faith, this church would not be here. If I would have walked by sight and not by faith, we'd have never bought this building. If we would have operated by sight and not by faith, listen, half of the things that we have done, we would never have done because there was always naysayers saying, oh, you can't do it. Oh, you don't have it. Oh, you can't. Oh, there's not the money. Oh, you can't. Oh, that's impossible. No one does that. No one can do that. I don't think it can be done. Listen, you don't have this. You guys don't have that. You don't. Listen, if you walk that way, you'll always stay in a very safe place and probably not accomplish very much because faith will defy the rational mind. And sometimes we have to ignore. The second thing I want you to write down is this. Listen, faith is not a one-time event, but an attitude of the heart that must be maintained in the face of fear. And Jesus said to Jairus, listen, don't be afraid, just believe. Why did Jesus tell him not to be afraid? Because listen, fear is the enemy of faith. You know why fear is the enemy of faith? Because fear focuses on all that will go wrong and can go wrong. And fear has you dwell and camp out on the negativity. Faith is based in the character of God. God is good. God is sovereign. God can overcome. Faith is built in the sovereignty and goodness of God, and God is immutable, which means he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when my faith is based in God, I know that all things are possible. I know that God can. I know that it can be done. I know that there is a way. When I have faith, I know that. Your fear, hey, you get a little cough, and if you let yourself alone with your mind already, you're already in the hospital dying of lung cancer. And all you had was a little cough. Isn't that the way it works? Man, you hear a little noise out there. It's a squirrel in a tree. You got a mass murderer already with axes and all of his clan after you, ready to lynch you. And it was just a little squirrel out there. Why? Because fear feeds on that. You got a little mole. You know, by the time you're done thinking about it, you're already in stage 3 of cancer, you know, in the hospital, melanoma. But because you've been in fear mode. In fear mode. Faith doesn't go there.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and the first half of his message called Love Stops for Change. It's from our series called Love Stops. Please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of this message. Have you downloaded our free Straight Talk app yet? There you can download a free copy of this message as well. You'll find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. We have some great messages on family, relationships, and how to grow in your spiritual walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD, you can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. Why don't you join us at New Life Midway, where you can hear Pastor Mark in person at either 9:30 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. at 5101 South Keeler near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line with the Pulaski stop. Well, that's it for us on the Straight Talk team. Thank you so much for joining us again. On behalf of Pastor Mark and all of us, have a great evening and God bless.